800 CJBQ now presents the Lauren Brooker Show, Quetty's Talk Radio. It's your opportunity to voice your opinion on today's issues and topics. Call 613-969-1545 or toll free 1-866-969-1546. And now, here is Lauren Brooker on 800 CJBQ.
When we talk about housing, and housing has become a big issue in the Quinte region, you hear about builders a lot, and you hear about space, and sometimes you hear about the tenants. But you don't often hear a lot about landlords and the issues that they have to deal with. And trust me, landlords across the country, and certainly in this area, have some very serious and difficult issues to deal with. Owning residential real estate that you rent out is not simply an easy cash cow that you just fill your bank account with. So to talk more about some of the issues that landlords have to deal with, I'm joined in studio by Robert Gentile. Robert is the president of the Quinte Region Landlords Association and paralegal Sue Priest. Robert, Sue, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Lauren. Thanks for having us.
Okay, so first of all, Robert, tell us a little bit about this foundation. Are you a landlord? You own, I would hope so if you are part of this this organization.
Yes, I am a real landlord. I do actually own some rentals, and I've been running the association since 2015. And it started off years ago as a group of landlords who were upset with the rules and regulations and how they're being taken advantage of. And since then, it's grown from probably 10 members to over 200 members in the Quinte region. And we meet monthly. We hold a lot of education events and seminars. And our goal is basically to teach landlords how to be more successful in what they do, to take pride in what they do. We also want to be part of the housing crisis solution that we have here locally by helping encouraging more people to become landlords and create more housing.
Mm-hmm. And there's an event tonight, which we'll get to before 10 o'clock. And let me ask you, a paralegal is an important part of the whole resolution process, I suppose, between landlords and tenants. So tell us exactly what you do, Sue.
Well, as a paralegal, representing landlords in the Landlord and Tenant Board, basically from start to finish, yeah, with notices that need to be served to tenants, including then the application process, the hearing process, the mediation process, take the landlords right the way through the labyrinth that is the Landlord and Tenant Board.
It is crazy. So here's what I know. People rent from, first of all, I hate the term landlord. It sounds nasty, right? They should come up with another term, right? Rental executive, rental host. I don't know what it is.
I don't know who came up with that. I mean, we refer ourselves to rental housing providers, landlord.
That's way worse. Keep landlord.
I think it goes back to the 1800s, yeah, right?
Sure,
when you were a landlord, no landlady.
I'm sure it goes way, way back. Okay. People go and look at a place to live. Based on the amount of money that they can afford. And if they can afford it, they sign a lease or a month-to-month or whatever the case might be. And for the service of having a roof over your head, you pay the money.
Correct.
That is as simple as it gets.
It's supposed to be what happens.
Right?
That's the simple, yes.
And there are a significant amount of people who do that every month without fail. And hence, everything's cool.
Most of them.
And the vast majority. And the vast majority of tenants are great. And I was a tenant for many years before we bought our first house. And I know I was a good tenant. And the landlords I had really worked hard to try to keep us happy. Do you need new carpet? Can we paint the place? It's been a while, you know. So we want to say that up front, right? That most renters are happy and they
absolutely
have a good symbiotic relationship with their landlords.
The majority of renters are excellent people. And I was a renter at one point. And look, when people think of landlords, sometimes they think of the of a real estate tycoon, right? And I want you to think of a Mr. Roper from Three's Company. Okay, that's what most landlords are. They're everyday people. They're everyday working.
I hope they're not Mr. Roper. Mrs. Roper, you had to watch out for.
That was the crazy one.
Yeah, she had quite the libido. Okay,
but most tenants are great. I would say most tenants are great, and most landlords are great. There are bad apples on both sides.
For sure. The problem is, with apples, you can just pick them up and discard. With bad tenants, the system is rigged, I honestly believe, on their side. And I also believe that there are a bunch of people out there who spend their lives working the system. Because you would think it's not too long if you're paying a lease on a car, that if you skip a bunch of lease payments, that they're coming to pick up that car and tow it away.
That's correct.
It doesn't take. It would take 1 or 2 months probably. But that's not how it works. And that's the real unfortunate thing. And every month that a landlord, a property owner, isn't receiving the rent for that property, they're losing a lot of money because many of them, most of them, I would assume, Robert, are still paying mortgages on their... Not just, as I said, piling the money up. They have bills to pay, and they rely on that income to pay those bills. So when you're not, when you're not paying your rent, it's equivalent to having an empty apartment, except you're still using utilities, and it's a bad situation. You're stealing.
You know, I have long said to our members, is that we have a situation in the province of Ontario of what I call legalized theft and legalized vandalism. If I come into your radio studio today and I kick down your door and I smash your window and I walk out, you're going to be calling the police and the police are going to have a word with me. If I come in here and I steal money out of your cash drawer, there are going to be consequences. But in the province of Ontario, if you're a tenant, and you can come into my apartment and kick in my walls and doors and smash the apartment up and defraud me of rent, the police aren't going to do anything. You have to pursue the legal avenues at your own expense through the landlord-tenant board when it's actually working. And this is allowed under the law. And so what we teach our members at the association is to how to prevent these kinds of tenants from getting in your buildings in the first place. And then if one slips through and you do find yourself in hot water, we teach our members how to go after those tenants, get justice, work the system, and recoup what you're owed.
Sue.
Yes.
These people are criminals. They're stealing accommodation. Just as if somebody buys $10,000 of radio commercials and never pays us, they're stealing our airtime.
To a certain extent, however, tenants fall under the Residential Tenancies Act, mm-hmm. which is not criminal. You're not doing anything criminal by not paying your rent.
Okay.
You're going to get evicted. How long is it going to take to get evicted? Quite a while. But it's not considered, Lauren. It's not criminal because it falls under the Residential Tenancies Act, which if you look at the Residential Tenancies Act and you look at the responsibilities of a landlord, which is about a, because I can't show my hands on the radio,
it's
a page versus the obligations of a tenant, which I think there's 4 points, and then reverse that with rights. Landlords have very few rights. Tenants have all the rights in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, they can do it and get away with it.
And the rights that tenants get, I think are important because in the days gone by, I'm sure there were nasty situations and it was there to protect the tenants. And I agree
absolutely,
with that.
Absolutely.
But I think when they were writing those, they were forgetting the fact that what about the other side when there's nasty tenants? Because sometimes it takes two to tango. And how do the landlords or business owners get protected? And that, I think, is what's missing.
It's exactly what's missing. How do they get protected? Well, you're protected right from the beginning. It's all about your vetting process. That's where it starts.
So right? You have seen all sorts of these individuals. is it sometimes really difficult to tell somebody who is, you know, I'm going to call them criminal, even though legally they're not, but they have this, they have the scam. It's a, they're scam artists. They are scamming, the landlords out of rent. That's what they're doing.
James Regan, the perfect example, out of Toronto. He would show up to a landlord's place with an application, and he would be wearing a dapper suit. He looked like a businessman, and he walked the talk, and he sounded like it. And once he was in there, he stopped paying rent, and he was scamming multiple landlords like this, and he eventually found himself criminally charged because it went so far. But there are a group of tenants out there, we call them wolves in sheep's clothing.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot go by your gut instinct. You've got to verify. Look, I tell our members, when you receive an application for rent, you assume everything that application is a lie, and you have to be a detective to verify it. Hopefully it's not. Most tenants are wonderful, and we looked after our tenants. But you have to protect yourself.
And also, is it socioeconomic? So, you know, say you have a lower rent building and the person says that they're a neurosurgeon, that might be a good, you know, a good indicator that that person's lying on their form.
More than likely they are. and again, as to what Robert said, that's the vetting process. You have to take that responsibility as a landlord to follow the process. Make sure you're vetting. Make sure you know
because there's so many privacy rules in this country, what rights do landlords have to actually vet? How do they know besides what's written on the paper?
With consent, and there is software out there, I don't know if I can name it.
I don't care.
It's neighborly.com.
Yeah.
Where Neighborly is a program, an online program, it's free. Where the application is actually sent directly to the tenant applicant. They have to fill everything out, including where they work, provide driver's licenses, provide photos of their pets to prove if they have animals or don't have animals. You know, it goes through the entire process and comes back with I think it's a 9 or a 14-page report.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite detailed.
And it's quite detailed to the point where they actually get into your social media. They check your Facebook. They check your Twitter. They check your Instagram. They look, and this report comes back to you and determines whether or not this is a good candidate.
We also have rentcheck.ca, which is another company. And you see, these are the things that we teach, Lauren. Oh, there are landlords that come to us desperate, and they say, we need help. We're out of rent thousands of dollars. We wish we found the Quinte Region Landlords Association 5 years ago. We wouldn't have these problems. And so we help these landlords. We say, become members, come into our landlord community, and we can help you with our networking and our resources and our programs.
What percentage of tenants end up being problematic, would you say?
I would want to say 10%.
Yeah.
10%. We have such a low vacancy rate out here. It's terrible all over.
Yes.
And you combine that with the issues going on at the board, with the lack of adjudicators, with the delays. You know, I can only say to landlords today, if you're in a situation where October's rent has not been paid, get a notice out. Get on it, because it's going to take you anywhere between 3 to 5 months to get a hearing date.
And so that's some of the stuff I want to get into, because now that person, you can't kick them out. You can't. And if it takes 5 months, they now have 5 months of free rent.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And how do you recoup that money? You recoup that money if they're not on social assistance. Social assistance, you're out of luck. So that's the key is using the notices that the board provides and acting quickly. Don't be friends with your tenant. You're running a business.
Mm-hmm.
Tenants are not your friends. Don't accept the excuses. Oh, my bank was...
There's got to be some wonderful excuses.
Lord, I could tell you all of them.
My racehorse was injured. It was the vet bill.
Yeah, I can say that I've heard a few of them myself, right? My bank account was compromised. So when that comes back, I'll get it to you. 3 days later, the bank was doing an update and all my money went missing. well, the list goes on. We'd be here all day.
But Lauren, there are, Sue's absolutely right. There's a lot of fraud artists out there, but they represent a very small minority of tenants. Mm-hmm. And you know what? We are very clear with our members. Don't deny somebody housing because of their income source or
absolutely.
Because they've had trouble with the law before. Don't deny people housing because they're going through difficult times. Everybody deserves housing. You have to go on a case-by-case basis.
Just because you're poor, that does not mean you're not going to pay your rent.
No, absolutely
right.
not.
Yeah.
Absolutely
right.
not. And a lot of people are on a pay direct program or what have you, so
sure.
rent isn't an issue. Like I said earlier, we're talking maybe 10%.
Yeah. Let's go to the phone, 613-969-1545, toll-free 1-866-969-1546. Tanya, good morning. Hello, Tanya.
Hi, good morning.
You're on the air.
How are you doing?
We're great.
We run a campground, an RV and trailer park in North Belleville, almost Foxborough. We have a gentleman that's been living year-round, even though we're seasonal, and working as a manager here. We have just taken over this place in the spring, and the previous owner allowed him to live here, even though the water gets shut off in the winter. But he's claiming residency, which we've been told now he is now our problem, and we have to go through the landlord-tenant process to get him removed, as he is no longer working out as a manager. He was actually very much mismanaging the property. So we're actually just waiting for a hearing date, and we're perplexed as to how we turned into landlords in a seasonal park.
So the Residential Tenancies Act specifically excludes campgrounds as one of the properties. However, and you may have fallen into this situation, if a campground owner allows somebody to live there as mm-hmm. their permanent residence, start getting mail there, that's mm-hmm. their only place, you can fall under the landlord-tenant board. There has been many applications over the years by campers that have been thrown out single-handedly by the board, but there have been some adjudicators who have allowed the application to go through. This is a very dangerous precedence for your campground. You want to make sure
yeah.
that gets thrown out, and I would seriously suggest do not try to go at this alone. I would seriously suggest you get a paralegal. I'll try to think of one if I can come up with a name.
No, that's okay. We've actually got a paralegal. We did
excellent.
Consult a lawyer who said go with a paralegal. So they've actually filed two forms. One was that the because he wasn't paying any fees as well, and he's also stopped paying his hydro. So she filed, because he's no longer a manager, the spot went with being a manager, so now he has to leave because he's no longer managing.
Perfect.
I don't think an RV is a comfortable place to live in over winter, so it's probably his benefit to get a
proper apartment. I wouldn't imagine.
Well, the issue, too, is it's double hard for you on this because it's an employment issue. You're new owners, and you have essentially right now a squatter on your property.
Correct.
And this is what we're talking about, Lauren. There's people out there that will take advantage of the rules every chance they get. And again, it's a small minority of people, but it's those people that are clogging up the court system.
Well, mm-hmm. yeah. Okay. Well, I wish you the best of luck.
Me too.
And
my only question is, are we going to have any problem at some point getting him out? Does he have rights to stay here for how long? Like, does this process work if you...
You have to argue at the landlord-tenant board, if it even goes to hearing, you have to argue that this is not his permanent residence. And if he's successful in arguing that it is, then you're mm-hmm. going to have some more complications. So you start to gather all your evidence that this is not his permanent residence. And if the previous campground owner...
It has been his permanent residence because the previous owner allowed it to be.
But he's no longer employed by you, correct?
No.
And the water and hydro get shut off in the winter?
They're supposed to, but we've been told we can't touch the water and hydro because he's a permanent resident. We can't cut off those services to him, but our water supply will freeze.
Right.
It will will not survive the winter. And he's not actually using it. He's just told them he's using it.
Well, definitely, your question is way beyond the scope of this radio program today. But I'm glad that you have legal representation, because you need that in this complex situation.
Absolutely.
You know what I would do? The person has probably does not have a lot of money. I'd turn off the water and hydro and see what happens.
Well, I think we get charged, unfortunately.
Well, this is the problem. Thanks, Tanya. The problem is, I appreciate, good luck to you, that, again, exactly why you folks are in studio today, the burden falls on this poor owner who takes over this trailer park and tries to make it better, and there's this person there who allegedly won't go and has no right to be there anymore, especially it's a seasonal park. It's 9:45. We'll take a break. When we come back, this landlord and tenant board, what is it? How do you get through it? And how do you actually get somebody to leave once they've been told to leave? Ten minutes before 10 o'clock, and we're talking about issues that landlords have. Robert Gentile, he's the president of the Quinte Region Landlords Association, and paralegal Sue Priest in studio. A paralegal is the person that you should see. They know more about this stuff than anybody else, and they are the ones who will represent you, I suppose, at the landlord-tenant board. This is the body, the courtroom, I suppose, when landlords have issues with their tenants. But Sue, they're dysfunctional.
It is dysfunctional. It's fallen apart. It's been this way for the last 2 years, since 2018, when we had a shortage of adjudicators, as well as we're coming the crossover between the Liberal and the PC government.
Mm-hmm.
So basically what had happened is back in December of 2018, 14 adjudicators fell off. Their deal was up December 31st. You're done. In a panic of not having any other adjudicators in place, they brought those people back. But in the process, the board has suffered so much stress. Adjudicators, staff members, they're resigning. They can't take the stress. When you're walking into the board on any given Thursday or Friday in Belleville to the Ramada, second floor, you're looking at anywhere between 30 and 40 addresses on that docket. The adjudicators got to hear all of those matters. Maybe one-sided, maybe their hearing's going to take longer. Probably four or five of them are going to get adjourned because there's not enough time. So another delay. And at the same time, these adjudicators have to write orders for all of this. So when you consider how backed up they are, I myself am waiting on an order for a client from May the 2nd. May 2nd. I still don't have a decision on what that adjudicator wants to do. So it's all about, we've got to use it. As a landlord, you've got no other option. You have no option when it comes to evicting a tenant except to go through the process.
And that's why the second they miss their rent, you should give them that first notice.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The first of the month, on the second, give it. It's not that notice is not saying, although it does say it could lead to your eviction, but it's giving you 14 days to pay your rent. Pay it. If you don't get it, file with the board. Don't wait.
Yeah.
Don't wait and don't wait for the excuses.
Amy, good morning.
Good morning. I just have a question. If I bought a condo unit that had a current tenant in it, could I evict that tenant if I wanted my son to live in the condo?
That's a great question.
You can terminate that tenancy to have a family member move in. There is a form that you need to use, an N-12. You do need to give that tenant 120 days notice that somebody is moving in, and you also need to compensate that current tenant with at least 1 month's rent. And your son needs to live in that condo for at least a year. You can't re-rent it.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Amy. Appreciate it. So,
you're welcome.
There's a whole thing about, hey, you want your family member to live in that.
That's right. But be clear, that's under the Rental Fairness Act.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's a big thing in Toronto. This is why the Rental Fairness Act came into play, was the fact that landlords were, in order to increase the rent, were giving N-12s out and saying, you got to go. I'm going to move my Uncle Charlie in. Charlie wouldn't move in, and they would re-rent, obviously, and the price would go up. The rent would go up. So now what's in place is that person moving into that unit must sign a declaration and must stay there for at least 1 year.
Okay.
Otherwise, you're looking at a bad faith application, which in a landlord's perspective, that's going to cost you thousands.
Can I mention something about the dysfunction of the board?
Yeah.
Or did you want to get something in there first?
Well, we have 47 seconds left.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I told you, it goes by quickly.
It does go by quickly.
So tell us, there's a meeting tonight.
So we have a special seminar tonight for landlords in the Quinte region and other housing providers, including social service agencies, and it's called Surviving the Landlord and Tenant Board. It's 6:30 at Sans Souci Banquet Hall. It's $20. Meals are optional. And we're going to bring in, Sue is going to come in and educate our members and landlords who want to be there as our guests. We're opening it up to guests to teach them how to avoid the problems in the first place, the state of the landlord-tenant board. If you do find yourself in that minefield, how to get out of it with minimal damage.
Okay, and if somebody wants to find out more about the Quinte Region Landlords Association, how do they do so?
It's an invitation-only event, so we do ask you to fill out the contact form at Quinte Region Landlords Association.ca. You'll find our website, Google us, fill out the form, and we'll send you the information.
Yeah, or to find out more about your association.
That's right, too. Yeah. Imagine that.
Yeah. All right, well, thank you very much, Sue Priest, for coming in. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Lauren.
And Robert Gentile, keep up the good work with your group.
Thanks, Lauren. We're looking after landlords and tenants.